What's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am positively casual Friday Chuck Mockler.
We are Locked On Clippers. Should I say Locked On Braves, just in special acknowledgement of the new throwbacks that dropped?
Oh my God, we're Locked On Braves today, I guess.
So if you guys haven't seen it, it's official. Clippers dropped the throwback jerseys. One of the four other possible
15,
alternates.
I think it's 15 jerseys this year.
That we could have, looking very clean.
We're going to describe the hell out of those in the first segment.
I mean, we got to talk about it. We've both been psyched about it all day. I mean, it definitely stole 2 hours out of my workday, if not more.
For sure.
So we're kicking things off with that. Today is Friday. Every single Friday, we do our Pac Div Power Rankings. Today, we're going to be doing something a little bit different. We're going to be talking coaches, which we haven't actually done yet.
A lot of new blood in the Pac Div this year. A
lot of new blood, for sure. So we got that coming for you, and then everybody's favorite Friday segment, or at least Charles and I's favorite Friday segment.
We've heard no negative feedback yet, so it's everyone's.
Love, marry, kill. We got a great one lined up for you today, so stay tuned for all of that and more coming up right now.
So the Clippers announced their Buffalo Braves throwback uniform.
Love.
Clean as hell.
It's really, really good.
I'm going to do my... If you haven't seen it, it was posted. So it was originally posted. I was perusing the internet, and it was the ClippersStore.com, which looks like a bootleg website, but is very much a real Clippers website. I had the header of it with a Lou Williams jersey that was kind of teasing it with an image of Bob McAdoo, too. It's a white jersey with a black and orange kind of stripes going diagonal. Mm-hmm. Very clean look. Mm-hmm. Matt Chong pointed out a great thing about these jerseys.
What do you got?
Taking it back to before the team had anything to do with Sterling.
Oh yeah, brilliant. I mean, we've talked about this, and this is a little bit off topic, but you know, when Ballmer talked about being open to the idea of a rebrand, mm-hmm. I think we were both in the opinion that the name should stay the same.
Yeah, at least until the new stadium is what I think.
Yeah, but if the name were to change, to me, Braves is the thing that makes the most sense.
Makes the most sense, but I don't think it'll happen given there's a negative connotation with that word.
Yeah, but we'd be bringing it back in a tasteful way.
Okay, I'm going to let you. You can direct all your thoughts on that to @WillUpTime. No, but the jerseys look fantastic. It appears to be a home throwback. Primary color's white. We haven't seen anything from the away stuff.
The away one is orange. What do you think about that?
Yeah. Luke Mitchell actually had a fantastic rendering. Check him out on Twitter. It was an orange one with the black stripe, which looked really good. A lot of people are saying it looks too much like the Blazers jersey.
Disagree.
It has a different logo, so I don't know. I don't see it.
Different colors.
Different colors, different logo.
Different team.
You know what? You're damn right. The front of the jersey is great. It's kind of an understated... the old Braves logo over the left breast with the number and then Braves on the right breast. The Bumble logo is on there.
This is...
Too many breasts? What's wrong with this? What do you want me to say?
That's 1,000% more than has ever been on this podcast.
I'm talking about the jerseys.
What is this now? Is this the Howard Stern Clippers podcast?
Locked On Howard Stern. The jerseys look incredible. The execution is fantastic. The pre-order is available. They're going to be shipped. I think they're shipped in... let me double check this right now. They're shipped in October. So you can pre-order it now. I'll ship out to you in October. Interesting note, however.
What do you got?
On the ClippersStore.com.
Okay.
Under the Shop by Player menu, fantastic feature, everyone is available to click on except for Jerome and Patrick Patterson.
Yeah. I think you are reading way too much into this.
Oh, I do too. But I'm hopped up on new jerseys, dude.
I think this means nothing. I think that... The demand for Jerome Robinson's jersey was very low last year.
They had him on the website last year, though.
Fair. I mean, was Mann on there?
Yeah, and Fee. Literally every single person except for Patterson and Jerome. That's the only reason I bring it up, is because I saw that the rookies were on there, and I thought,
Well, I think the rookie thing, there's always a lot of excitement around the rookies. I feel like they always release the jerseys and the hats and
for sure
everything with that. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm not willing to read into this.
Okay. Just saying. Could be something to monitor given the ominous September 3rd date we've been given for a perhaps new arrival. My question, this is shifting gears pretty hard, I guess. If we acquire Iguodala through a trade that involves Jerome... Given where he was drafted Is that kind of the biggest yikes that the front office has made?
That to me is a failure.
You could only argue, it's the only one they've made, other than Luke, I guess. But yeah. that Luke had extenuating circumstances. His knee was, we don't know what was happening with it. You know what I mean?
That wasn't a failure to me. A min contract?
Yeah,
for...
yeah, fair. But this would be, if we dealt Jerome for, what, 1 year? 2 years of Iguodala?
Yeah.
I would be pretty bummed out.
That to me is an L.
Just given who went after him in that draft and how we kind of, you know, we privately worked him out. We were really high on him, apparently.
Yeah.
Just to slang him for a year and a half of Iguodala would be, I don't know. It would rub me the wrong way.
It would super rub me the wrong way. Are you kidding?
And I would feel bad because there were just, you know, players we could have just kept on the team, I guess.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know. There's still people who have been asking us about it. We have no news on the Iguodala front. All we have is what we've been told from the Clips cast. So, you know, keep your ears tuned on Tuesday for that. Will, how many of these new jerseys are you going to buy?
I'm actually not a jersey guy, but
That's good, because we both do not... I don't have the confidence to wear a jersey out in public.
Yeah, I just don't really have the look. It looked like I was wearing a costume. I just don't have anything.
I know exactly what you mean.
I just don't have anything that would really accompany a jersey that well. But believe, I will be buying a bunch of the other merch.
Yeah, there's some the hoodies on there. All the branding is so good.
Yeah,
they absolutely crushed it. Now it gets the interesting thing. Are we gonna get a sick Braves court this year?
I mean, I hope so.
Justin Russo at Fly By Night posted what the original Braves court looked like. I think it was at the Niagara Financial Center or something like that in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, it's very cool. It's like old school parquet, like the old old logos where they were like huge in the middle of the court.
Yeah.
That like really took it up. It'd be really cool given, I feel like there's kind of like a minimalist revolution going on with team design stuff right now.
Yeah, that's fair.
In terms of court. So it'd be cool to see kind of almost like those outlandish. We've talked about this. Old school designs always work.
It's true.
Like these jerseys are a perfect example of how old school always hits. And so it would be really cool if the court got some kind of twist on that and it just like looked so much different. Obviously from maybe that kind of tattoo inspired one we saw with the gothic print. And then the what might be our regular court with the all black, just regular Clippers logo.
Yeah.
A lot of black in the colorway this year.
For sure.
It seems like. I wonder if that's going to be a primary color if we ever do a rebrand. I just want these jerseys, man. I want it to be October 16th so mine can get shipped out.
Did you already order it?
I haven't ordered it yet. There's so many things. There's beer koozies. We got Buffalo Braves throwback beer koozies on there.
Yeah, everything looks really good.
I'm excited for the 7 other jerseys that are going to be released at some point.
Yeah.
It was really funny because, like, the first thing I tweeted today was that the Sonics were going to get a throwback before we do. And then 27 minutes later, the throwbacks were announced. I was like, clutch, this one feels good today. Anything else on the jerseys or Jerome or the Patterson situation?
No.
Do you think you're not buying into any weirdness that they're not available?
Nope.
Fair. I like the Zubats is. The Lou Williams jersey looks so damn clean.
Yeah.
They're going to. How long do you think it takes before they sell out? Specifically the Lou Will jersey.
You think the Lou Will one's the first one to sell out?
Oh, yeah.
Should be.
It should be. I'm pretty sure his was the first City Edition last year to sell out.
Makes sense.
The name and number look too good.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's something about, like...
Like, 20, yeah.
23, and the it looks great. Let us know what you guys think of the jerseys. Let us know if you're in the camp that thinks they look too much like the Blazers.
Also, which logo do you like better? Are you good with the B? Do you like the Buffalo inside the basketball more?
I think I like the Buffalo inside the basketball more. I'm more of a cartoony guy when it comes to graphics.
I would agree. And if it resembles any jersey, the B just reminds me of the Bruins, but...
I like that. I don't like that, but that's a good comparison. Yeah, I like the cartoony stuff. Like, I think I've mentioned I want my rebrand to be like the Vaqueros or something like that with like a cool, like, well-designed cartoony guy on a horse or something like that, like looking really cool. It just helps... I think it's easier to identify the image. Like, the letter, you're right. It has such a kind of Boston,
yeah,
all that stuff. It's like, just make it our own.
Yeah.
That's what, I mean, the Sacramento Kings released their jerseys. They don't have a big tomato edition.
Nope.
God, get a tomato on that jersey. It's your damn nickname, Sacramento. Coming up after this, we're going to be talking some Pactive coach power rankings. A lot of new faces. Want to give a shout out to Locked On NFL. They got all the local news on your favorite team. Hope the Miami Dolphins are safe from the hurricane. Seems to be going to miss them, so that's good. One more time, Locked On NFL.
All right, so we got only two of the five coaches in the Pacific Division are remaining. However, three of the five we have seen before.
Yeah. Luke's familiar with the Luke Walton.
Is familiar with the Pacific Division.
Yes.
So just the names you got available on the board. You got Doc Rivers.
Woo!
Which, does he need an introduction?
I don't think so. He's a mustache. That's what he needs.
Steve Kerr. He played for a pretty obscure team known as the Chicago Bulls. They were mildly successful.
Yes, they were fine.
He coached another team.
They were okay.
They were fine.
Luke Walton did most of the heavy lifting on that team.
they were fine. You got Monty Williams, who longtime assistant coach,
executive,
coach in New Orleans,
inheriting
associate for Sixers, for the Thunder, Portland,
inheriting. I don't want to say a dumpster fire because they have two very good players, but organizationally, inheriting a dumpster fire.
Yes.
The new Suns coach.
Yes.
And then we have?
You got Luke Walton, Golden Boy.
Who's coached for every single team on this list except for the Clippers, which is pretty
crazy.
Son
of the most successful basketball player of all time.
Bill Walton.
Widely referred to as the GOAT.
Bingo!
And also, you got Frank Vogel in there.
Not widely recognized as the GOAT of anything.
Greatest. What if you're an Indiana fan?
Still no. Frank Vogel is the greatest coach at being on the team before they get good. It happens at every team he's been at, dude. It's happened at every team he's been at.
All right, so who are you going number one in this?
I don't know. Call me biased. I'm saying Doc is the best coach of these guys. Kerr is a very close second.
Yeah, I mean, I have to agree with you.
They might be tied for all, you know.
And you could call it bias. To me, the length of the career, there's a few things for Doc to me that stick out.
Mm-hmm.
The length of the career, the amount of times he's been on a team that should not have even had a winning record that made the playoffs is like...
Or even sniffed the playoffs like a couple years ago for us.
Yeah, it's something to me that's like that to me is like really... pretty incredible. Less chips than Kerr, obviously.
Is it? Yeah, I guess it's less. Why not? Not by much.
What do you mean?
Oh, you mean like playing and coaching wise?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, for sure. Yeah. Well, of course, playing and coaching wise, definitely. Yeah, Kerr has everyone beat on this list combined.
but yeah, I don't know. It's
kind of a toss up, man.
I think if you had asked me this 2 years ago, two, maybe 3 years ago, I would have said, it's hard and Doc has been really good, but transitioning into the modern game, I think Steve Kerr is probably the better coach moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
However, I mean, Doc has shattered every expectation pretty much that I've had.
He's caught up. He's caught up to the modern game.
He's caught up, and I just think
not that he was vastly far behind, but it's hard to transition into new styles of basketball.
He also, I just feel like, wasn't set up for success after leaving Boston.
Yeah, okay.
In my opinion.
Yeah, his first year was the Donald Sterling stuff.
Yeah, was the Donald Sterling stuff. He thought he wanted to be a GM. I think that was, misguided.
Quickly realized he maybe wanted to, but wasn't the best at it.
I get the feeling, though, that it was like, he was like talking with Tibbs, and he was like, man, I don't know if I should do this deal. And Tibbs was like, you gotta get the GM powers.
Tibbs takes a giant cigar out of his mouth.
If you don't have GM, how can you coach?
How can you coach?
Because they are noted friends.
Oh, of course, yeah. I think the clarification here, I think you're totally right, is that Doc has had a lesser roster for most of his time than Steve Kerr. Not that Doc has had, Steve Kerr has had a pretty damn good roster the entirety of his run at Golden State.
And I mean, you could argue that in LAC and Boston, Doc did have...
I feel like there's more leaner years that Doc had to deal with.
Yeah.
2 years ago for the Clips, for instance.
Yeah.
That was a lean-ass team.
Yeah.
Bev played no games. Gallo played, -1 somehow.
Yeah.
Like, he was coaching his ass off 2 years ago.
He's just... through how many seasons? Through 20 NBA seasons, three different teams, he's never had a losing record.
Ooh.
He went just over 500 in Orlando through five seasons. He went 58% in Boston.
That's not bad.
Guess what his win percentage is in LA over six seasons.
What was it in Boston?
58.
63.
62.
Damn it!
Very good.
This was Price is Right
rule, so you lost.
So I lost, 100%. Yeah, so I think it's neck and neck. I think this year, this is going to be interesting because this year Steve Kerr is almost in a what can you do now that
everything's
changed.
I mean, the Warriors are back into that like 14-15 NBA season where it was like, yeah, these guys are really good. Like, what?
They got a new D'Lo. He's got such a new wrinkle to add because when you have three guys who have just been, you know, you have it kind of figured out for a while with the big three that Golden State had.
Oh, yeah.
And now you're adding a player who plays nothing like anyone in that big three, who's probably maybe expecting, or they're going to use as, you know, a big four, obviously, with Clay out and stuff like that. It'll be the big three with them. So Kerr's almost in like a let's see what he can do here. We know he can do great things, but it's let's see what he can do with this new personnel and stuff.
Everyone's sleeping
on the Warriors.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm not necessarily saying they're championship favorites, but they still have Steph, Draymond, D'Lo, Looney, Kerr, like...
And they will have Clay back.
Yeah, he's going to come
back. Before the end of the season.
So let's get into the new guys.
Okay.
Monty Williams. This isn't really a power rankings, I guess, because I feel like Doc and Steve are kind of 1 and 1B, and everyone else is TBD.
All right, so if I'm...
Vogel, the thing with Vogel that gets me is he has a whole new team, too. He's coming into a pretty new squad of guys.
He's also arguably not the head coach.
Yeah, we should have put Jason Kidd on this list too.
So for that reason, to me, Frank Vogel, just like the Lakers head coaching situation to me, is the bottom of the list.
Just because we don't know what the hell's going on.
Because of that, because there's an inherent power struggle, like...
Yeah, it's just there.
Like, you just are going to have less control over a team.
Yeah, for sure.
And like, not even in the same way... as you could argue, say, Doc Rivers and with Ty Lue joining the staff of the Clippers.
Way different.
The Clippers is Doc's ship.
Yeah.
It's been Doc's ship.
Okay.
All right? He's manning it. He's at the helm.
He's spinning that big captain's wheel as hard as he can.
He's got a parrot on each shoulder. Yeah, that's how beloved he is.
He's got two parrots down. Yeah. But this is a Vogel kid bus.
With how adamant the Lakers were about whoever they hired... You know, they had to bring on... Kid was going to be the assistant coach.
Yeah,
it's like, kind of like, okay.
No, this feels good. I'm into this. So, this feels great.
I'm trying to think of a good comparison.
It's like training your replacement. It's like when you work at a restaurant.
100%.
It's like when you work at a restaurant and you used to work 5 days a week and they cut you down to one and then they hire a new person. Like, hey, can you train him for the 12 o'clock shift? You're like, wait, that's the only shift that I work. And they're like, oh, yeah, no, uh-huh.
Oh,
and then you train him, and then they're like, hey, you just trained your replacement. That's kind of what's happening with Vogel. Vogel's a server at Umami Burger right now, and Jason Kidd is the guy who just moved to L.A. who needs a job.
And this is no disrespect to his coaching career.
It's not very good, but sure.
All right, wow.
It's fine.
51% win percentage through eight seasons in the NBA.
Wow. That's almost just half. What do you want me to say? That's fine. Like, I guess I'm being negative right now, but like, that's fine.
No, you're right. You're right. It's fine.
I guess I'd put him at the bottom. Luke Walton, I would put. I'm gonna go Monty Williams next bottom, actually.
You're going Monty Williams next bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I'm going Luke.
Okay.
We're
talking on-court stuff only, by the way, as well.
Yeah.
Keeping all that out of it. Keeping all the other stuff out of it.
Yeah. Not that it's not important. We just don't have enough information.
I'm not going to make any claims for that.
Yeah. So to me, he's the fourth spot.
Okay. It feels a bit like a tie.
It's close for sure. I guess I could go either way. They're definitely very close mm-hmm. to each other. My thing would be, we haven't really gotten to see what he can do.
He got screwed over in LA.
I don't really feel like he ever got a clean shake
Another person we could add to the Vogel thing is LeBron. Yeah. As another coach. You know what I'm saying? You effectively have like three people who are the weird head coach. And Walton had like, as soon as, when LeBron went to the Lakers, I was like, oh yeah, I can't wait to see how Luke Walton disciplines LeBron or like tells LeBron to do stuff. It just doesn't compute.
Yeah.
Spoelstra could do it.
That's for sure.
But Walton came in after.
And Spoelstra couldn't even at first.
Yeah. He had to be a hard, like they had to really work at it.
And Pat Riley had to say, I'm not firing Spoelstra and I'm not becoming coach. Yeah. This is the coach.
So do your goddamn job. But yeah, Luke was kind of thrown into the fire with the Lakers. Man, it's almost like coaching for the Lakers is not good for your career in the long run, maybe. Monty just has some uncertainty for me.
Monty has some uncertainty. I guess my thing is I still don't know enough about Luke Walton as a coach. As we said, he didn't really get a fair shake. I do understand. I mean, he was really good with the Warriors.
Yep.
Which is, you know, a very hard job. So, I don't know.
It's crazy that gave him his career in coaching.
It's really hard for me to judge. I guess the reason I'm so high on Monty Williams.
Yeah, you seem really jacked on him,
which is,
dude.
Like, absurd. But his NBA coaching career, I mean, the win-loss percentage is better than Luke Walton's.
Yeah, but is it 51?
It's 44.
Whoa!
And I don't know. I guess just the perception of him from players and stuff around, it seems like a lot of players really respect him. Seems by all accounts he's a player's first coach. I think that will, I don't know. I really hope that he gets a chance in the Suns organization. I do think of the coaches that they've had during Devin Booker's tenure, this one to me seems like the best shot they've got. It just really seems like the best shot they've got. So I want to give him the benefit of the doubt and say that he is third on my list of the Pacific Division power ranking coaches.
When you're talking about a Suns coach, it's so hard because you also have to factor in that Sarver is such an involved owner, which is so stupid.
It's absurd.
Suns fans know it. Everyone knows it. We're not here to rag on the Suns. But it's so hard for me to rank him higher because it's like Sarver is going to tell you what to do. They hired Luka Doncic's coach. Yeah. And then they drafted not Luka Doncic.
Yeah.
And then they fired the guy.
Which made sense.
Devin Booker's had what? As many coaches as he's been in the league? As years as he's been in the league?
Yeah.
You can't, like, it's going to be hard for him. I hope he does well, too. They're going to have a fun team to watch maybe this year.
I mean, that's the thing, though. Like, there's some interesting pieces there. There's really no point in them sucking as hard as they have.
Who do you think has the most to prove?
Man, that's really tough because
I think it's Vogel. I think people are still discounting how insane it is, how much roster turnover they had, and they're bringing an entire new coaching staff.
You know what? I think you're right because like these guys, even while Monty and Luke are a little bit lesser known quantities, I would say
for sure.
Commodities.
Yeah.
Thank you. Locked on corrections. Yeah, Frank Vogel, man, he's going to have the spotlight on him.
And I'm going to say Doc second.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Doc second.
Doc for sure, yeah.
I guess I hope good things for Frank Vogel. I hope when he inevitably gets pushed out of the Lakers organization, he has a good time kicking it.
Yeah.
Maybe he can bump that win percentage up to 53%.
Hey.
That'd be pretty good, dude. That's 3% higher than 1.5 your games. Any other coach talk? It's kind of cool how much new blood there is in the Pac-Div.
Yeah.
Player-wise, coach-wise.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see.
What's your over-under on how many months Vogel lasts? Say it's 3 months.
You're saying 3 months? He doesn't last longer than 3 months?
That's the line. You taking over or under?
I'll take in the over. I'm trying to count out 3 months on my hands right now. Man, I think he makes it to the All-Star break.
See, that's why I'm taking the under.
Like, I think
if they lose three in a row, he's just fired. He's gonna get a text on the sideline or something before the game's even over. I don't know. Prayers up to Frank Vogel. Shouts out Steve Kerr. Shouts out Doc Rivers. Shout out all the coaches in the Pac-Div, the best division in basketball. Some would argue, us mostly. Coming up after this, we got a very Scoopy edition of Love, Marry, Kill?
Yeah.
This is a good one. This is an Updike classic. We got a Love, Marry, Kill coming up right after this.
All
right.
So.
Introduce this topic. This is a great one.
Charles and I don't have inside sources yet.
We don't get scoops. We're not a scoop podcast. We're not. Report the news. I'd love to have a scoop one day. It's like Michael Scott with inside jokes.
Yeah.
I'd love to have one someday.
We break down our opinions of the news.
Yeah. Which is, you know, maybe what threw this country into a terrible situation, but we're just talking basketball.
Hey, come on now. Let's keep that.
So we have to get creative with our sources.
Yes.
We try a lot of crazy things.
We do. We are, you know, we're getting out there. So these are some of we're gonna be love, marrying, and killing our favorite scoop sources.
Yeah.
All right. So what do we got on the board here?
So the first one.
And I will be throwing in ones at random.
Oh, we know. The first one is putting a player's face on a ball and seeing which team box an octopus puts it in. If you'll remember, during the World Cup, Paul the Octopus predicted a few winners in a row. But if you want to know where an NBA player is going, he's your man too.
Shout out Paul.
Dude, shout out
Paul. Just a side note, just an aside, and I'm sorry for this. Octopi shouldn't be in captivity.
They're literally too smart to stay in it. They escape tanks all the time.
I was in an aquarium in Japan, and the octopus was in the smallest tank.
That octopus is going to revolt.
Oh, it looked furious.
Keep on the lookout for octopus terrorizing Japan. Second source, my mom. She seems to have good intuition.
Your mom is on Twitter a lot.
She seems to have good intuition, so I ride her their free agent prediction. Shout out Kate Bratcher. She always knows what's up. Third option, and I don't think it will be the last, we take a bunch of acid and go to the Del Amo Fashion Center food court. The food starts to morph into the form of a player wearing the jersey of the team they're about to end up at, but we then eat the food, and depending if we start weeping or not, it's true. If you cry, it's true.
Wow, there's a lot of layers to this.
Yeah.
I like it.
You take a couple hits, you go get a corn dog. If it morphed into Paul George in a Thunder jersey and you ate it and you didn't cry, you're not staying with the Thunder. This is the most foolproof one.
Yeah, I mean, this one sounds pretty good. I'm going to throw in there Mike Tyson carrier pigeon.
Oh, good one. Okay.
And then...
Wait, how does that work, though?
Well, I got to drive over to Tyson's place and ask him about the pigeon. And then
the pigeon tells you.
Yeah.
Or does the pigeon just have a note tied to its foot?
Yeah, but only Mike can read it.
Of course.
I can't read the pigeon's writing.
Okay. Yeah, okay, no, that checks
even
out.
Even as someone with very bad handwriting, the pigeon's writing is it's atrocious. Yeah.
And Mike Tyson is fluent in pigeon writing.
Oh, he's a whisperer.
Okay.
Okay.
So you got another one?
Yes. I also have just a classic PI. I've got a guy. He's not doing well, all right?
No, he's a PI. Is there a PI that does well?
He took the divorce really hard. Mm-hmm. It's what prompted him to... he found his wife cheating, which is what led to the divorce, which he tried to turn into his passion, which is now PIing. He lives in his car. Things are a little tied up. Things are a little rough right
now.
So
you're paying this...
But because of him living in his car, he's very mobile. He's also very dedicated to the job. He has a camera with a ridiculously long zoom lens. He's always wearing a shirt with a coffee stain on it.
Okay, so how is he getting
But he has a thick mustache.
How's he getting the scoops, though, is where I'm getting a little lost in this whole process.
He's driving around in circles. He's in Brentwood. He's in Beverly Hills. He also keeps an ear to the ground.
Mm-hmm. Literally.
He's everywhere all at once. He's my PI.
So you're stalking players, essentially.
No. I get info from my PI.
Of course. He's free to make his own decisions. All right. I'm going to start. I love the acid one.
Yeah.
I think taking hallucinogenics to try and figure out where a player is going to go probably has the same success rate as just guessing.
Yeah, I'm in agreement on this.
You take a bunch of mushrooms, you go out to the desert, you see an image of Kawhi catching an oop from Terrence Mann, who you don't even know is even on the Clippers yet.
Yeah.
I think that makes a bunch of sense.
Yeah. You're like, in the distance, I see a man?
Yes. Yeah, I like that one. And
maybe
you know,
we could tie in a voodoo doll, too, to this?
That's hurting the players. That seems bad.
No. It doesn't have to be hurtful.
And then also, I just think it would be really fun to take a bunch of acid and go to the Del Amo Fashion Center.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be a good time. Although, maybe too many lights.
A lot of lights. It's so big, though, that it never feels crowded.
Yeah, we'll get into that.
Ample parking, too, because I'm driving there and back.
Oh, yeah, of course. We'll get into that unlocked on Hallucinogenics next week. I'm going to marry putting the face on a ball and seeing which team an octopus puts it in. I love animals picking stuff.
This one is my kill. For the reason I said
you
want to
kill
earlier.
The octopus.
No, that's... I just don't want it to be in captivity.
Who says we're in captivity?
Where is it? Where...
I got it. He's in the ocean. He's my guy, so I know where he's going to be at. Mm-hmm. I bring all the supplies. I want to make him comfortable so he makes the best decision. I don't want him to feel pressured.
What? All right.
I think this checks out. Okay, how about this? It's in a 1,000-gallon tank, and it's the smallest octopus that's in existence.
How big is a 1,000-gallon tank?
Big enough for the smallest
octopus. What's the square footage?
We're getting way off track right here. And then I think I'm going to kill my mom on this one.
Oh, God. Wow.
I very much love my mother.
It's got dark.
But she, you know, sometimes it's just a little shaky. Sometimes you're like, I really don't think Paul George is going to go to Beijing. And she's like, I'm just saying it could happen. I just don't think that.
She's
so that's
not a reliable source.
She's not a reliable source, what I'm saying. The most reliable is Paul the Octopus, followed by Hallucinogenics.
All right.
So what do you got?
I'm also loving Hallucinogenics. Okay. I think that, man, do you remember when prophecies like just happened mm-hmm. and there was like a designated person in the town and they would...
Who was high all the time.
Would smoke DMT and tell you what would happen.
Yeah.
You know, back when news was real.
Exactly. No, I get that.
I'm gonna marry Mike Tyson carrier pigeon.
That's a good one. I can't be mad at that one at all.
He takes beautiful care of his birds.
Yes, he does.
They live a great life.
If you haven't seen the video of Lamigos going to look at Mike Tyson's pigeon room, it's one of the funniest things.
They're a little bit off put by how much he loves the birds.
Which is totally fair. And then so you love that one.
Yeah. And then I'm killing an octopus. I don't think he's happy.
Yeah, he starts making bad decisions.
I mean, I think he'd be happier. I don't know. He doesn't want to make predictions, you know?
Yeah, he just wants to write what he wants to write.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I like
that. He wants to ball.
He wants to ball.
He wants to be on the team.
Let us know which of these...
Oh, and I'm co-killing my PI, but let me tell you why.
I just think
oh God. I just think he should find a more productive outlet for
yeah, exercise.
His sadness.
Yeah, he should exercise. Let us know what you guys think your favorite scoop method is.
Yeah.
We'll probably get a source this year. I don't know. Could happen, could not happen.
Who knows?
I honestly have a fear of breaking news just because it would be wrong.
Yeah. At the same time, though, if you want to be our source, shout us out. We need no credentials or verification.
Yeah, we're gonna blindly follow it.
Sight unseen.
We'll go with it.
You tell us, we'll say.
If you tell us the whole team's getting traded for everyone on the Beijing Sharks, makes sense. We're taking Monday off, right?
Yeah, probably.
Guys,
yeah.
We're going to be taking Monday off. It is a long weekend. We're going to enjoy our Labor Day.
We're going to be working, though, on another Clippers upcoming project, which more details to leak slowly.
Oh, yes. More details to leak slowly. The only reason we have this leak is because we're also the source. We'll catch you guys on Tuesday. We'll be doing a live show, just kicking it. Send us your questions.
Oh, yeah.
Think of them. Maybe 7 other jerseys are going to be released by that time. Thank you so much for hanging out on what has been a very Friday pod. Very casual Friday. We appreciate it. Check us out on iTunes. Check us out on the Himalaya app. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks so much for tuning in.